With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. All those rewards credit cards issued by the banks have delivered enormous benefits to consumers. Well, now the banks are saying hold on, and they're starting to pull back on the frills. We'll explain why in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. It's a lot cheaper to fill up at the gas pump. The Energy Department says gas prices on December 31st were down by 25 cents a gallon as compared to a year earlier. The Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street team quotes Jason Bordoff. He's founding director of Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy as crediting a fall in gas prices in part to President Trump taking a less strict approach to Iranian sanctions. Meanwhile, the folks at gasoline price tracker Gas Buddy say the price at the pump could jump by as much as 35% as soon as May, with output cuts by major oil producers expected to boost the price of oil. And the latest casualty of the government shutdown could be your tax refund from the IRS showing up in a timely fashion. During a shutdown, the IRS can continue activities that protect government property, and the agency may bring in more workers soon to prepare for the income tax filing season. Now, the IRS hasn't announced a start date yet for the 2019 filing season. That's the first under the tax law that Congress passed 2 years ago. Even during a shutdown, the agency still processes some tax returns that include payments and keeps computer systems running and continues criminal investigations. But the IRS generally does not conduct audits, respond to taxpayer questions outside the filing season, or pay refunds. For the past few years, banks have gone out of their ways asking us things like what's in our wallet and be sure to sign up for their rewards-rich credit cards. Well, now the tide is turning and those rewards may not be around for long. Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis is here with some details. So Anna Maria, this is an area of fierce competition among banks.
And it has been an area of fierce competition for several years now. Some of the biggest banks in the country have been going head-to-head. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, American Express is one of the largest card issuers as well. They've really been going head-to-head trying to figure out what are the most generous points and other reward offerings they can put out there to get as many card users as possible.
Seems like everyone is coming for American Express's Platinum card. That sort of set the standard for rewards and benefits?
That became the focus point for several of American Express's competitors in recent years. And really, the peak of credit card rewards mania occurred in late 2016, somewhere between there and early 2017, when J.P. Morgan had the Sapphire Reserve card with 100,000 points for people who received the card and spent a few thousand dollars in the first few months. And that, by many card executives, was looked at as, how could they even do that? That is such a rich offer. How could it make financial sense for the bank?
Well, it made financial sense for the consumers. They ran out of cards. They couldn't produce the cards fast enough.
Correct. And essentially what we've seen playing out even since then is that consumers are very savvy with how they're using credit cards, and they have oftentimes many cards that they have with them, and they strategize what purchases to put on what cards in order to earn the maximum number of points or the most cash back possible. And banks are facing a situation where certainly, of course, they're still making money from credit cards, that goes without saying, but that the returns on cards are declining, and they've been declining for a few years now. One reason for that is because of the rewards costs, which are rising. And they're rising because you have a bunch of savvy consumers who are using these cards to get the maximum benefits out of them, not carrying balances, so they're not paying interest charges. Mm-hmm. They're not incurring late fees. So for the consumers, it's a net win.
So how do the fees that banks collect from these cards factor into all this?
So pretty much every credit card has something called an interchange fee. Sounds dull, but it's very important. Every time consumers shop with their credit cards, the merchants that they're shopping at pay a fee to the banks that issue that credit card. And that fee has become a substantial way that rewards programs are being funded and essentially allowing for these super generous rewards programs to be out there. What's going on is that there are a large number of merchants, including some very big ones like Amazon, Target, Home Depot, that are essentially through lawsuits pushing for changes to this interchange fee structure. And if they're able to get their way, that would lead to lower fees. And banks have this very much in mind right now and are concerned about what the future of these rewards credit cards that are out there could mean if the big merchants do get a big win and interchange fees go down.
What really surprised me in your story is that while people try to game the system, like you said, and use different cards, they rack up as many points and rewards as they can, J.P. Morgan says its credit card holders have built up about $6 billion in rewards that they have not redeemed. I mean, why even go through this? Why even do this if you're not going to cash in the rewards?
A couple things. That number is certainly a staggering number. The bank reported that as of the third quarter of 2018, there were $5.8 billion in rewards that its cardholders had not yet redeemed. That figures up 53% from the end of 2016. And it could be a mix of things. It certainly could be that people don't redeem their points right away. So oftentimes consumers want to hold out and wait until they've built up a large number of points in order to redeem them for something big like airfare.
Yeah, so for the trip to Hawaii, it's going to take more than a few trips to Walmart and Target.
And also, it's interesting because one of the couples who I spoke to for the story, who basically took Chase points, which came out to somewhere around, they had amassed around 400,000 Chase points.
Wow.
And they took those points to pay for airfare that was part of their round the world trip in 2017.
There are great photos of this in your story on WSJ.com. Go check it out. They're really good photos.
What I thought was especially interesting about this couple is that they recently signed up for American Express's Platinum card. So they signed up for the Chase Sapphire Reserve. They each got 100,000 points when Chase had rolled out that card.
Wow.
They've been using it since then. And recently, the husband, Jason, signed up for the American Express Platinum card, and the couple is basically now considering whether to close one of the Sapphire Reserve cards. So they signed up for the Amex Platinum. He's going to get that sign up bonus point that's offered on that. And this taps into one big area of concern for banks in the credit card space. The story gets into gamers, specifically people who sign up the cards, use them to get the maximum benefits early on in the life of having that card, and then put the card in a drawer, forget it somewhere, and switch to a new card to again do the same thing, get those early on benefits, those sign up bonus points.
Perfectly within the rules.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. However, it is causing headaches at the banks. And it was interesting to see the data on this. The sign-up bonus offers have been one of the main ways to lure in cardholders, and especially in that premium market with these cards like Sapphire Reserve and Platinum that charge several hundred dollars in annual fees, have generous rewards for travel, dining. It's been interesting to see how those sign-up bonus points on average have been falling in the industry the last few years. So basically what this all points to is that this rewards craze is starting to cause some real pain points for the banks that have been promoting it.
So the folks who game the cards and they game the system, hopscotch across cards, could be veterans at all this, but the younger customers are the ones that the banks really need to get to build up loyalty. And that's the target of several cards out there.
And that's something that JP Morgan and Citi have been talking about, which is that they're looking for sort of the long term here. Bringing people in with a credit card for many people is that first sort of financial product, you know, checking account, credit card for people in their 20s and so forth, bring them in, and then hopefully be able to sell them other services, be it deposit accounts, investment services, wealth management. So the cards are increasingly, I would say, being looked at that way. Really, the origins of how banks pushed into credit card rewards happened in the wake of the last financial downturn. Trading units, mortgage units, those had all slowed significantly. The banks were looking for an area where they could get significant revenue. And quite frankly, they really took a liking to American Express's model. I mean, a lot of this is kind of a replica of what American Express has been doing for decades, in particular with the premium cards, except now things have gotten so competitive that, you know, for several years, if one bank rolled out something competitive, the other bank would respond and meet them, or at least try to meet them. So you had this buildup. Mm-hmm. And now it's gotten to the point where you can't go higher than what the industry has been offering.
Yeah.
And if anything, what's happening is that they're chipping around the edges, trying to make these programs less costly for themselves. And I think most notable, discussions, as we report in the story, have been playing out at several banks about how can they sort of scale back, how can they cut back on rewards. No one's saying that rewards are going to end, but certainly the peak has passed, and now there are discussions about cost cutting.
All right, that is Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis joining us here in our studio. Anna Maria, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.